It's an Arsenal Thing podcast with your hosts, Tom, Silent Dave, Isaiah, and Jay. Fun, football, and conversation.
Welcome to It's an Arsenal Thing podcast. I'm your host, Tom, and with me is a man who communicates via his eyebrows, and his expression does the rest. It's the one and only, Silent Dave Hutchinson. You're too kind. Dave's looking like a chic bin rummager in his beanie hat, denim jacket, and his neck scarf. He arrived here on a Pedlar Pro PM, which is an adult scooter, you big child. But his ability to remain safe is actually very questionable. This is a man who single-handedly knocked over a line of girls ice skating because during his crash course, he forgot to ask how to stop. Thus circling the human traffic on ice at speed, waiting for an innocent and oblivious skater to bring him to a standstill. Five girls upended with their legs in the air. It was a loss. It was the last time you went, wasn't it? You're no Nathan Chen, are you? So up next, it was Burnley, and surely there wasn't anyone that thought this would be a doddle. Sean Dyche is used to being in a dogfight, and as Isaiah will tell us in American Arsenology, the passing was at times crisp and delightful, but we are missing someone who can finish. If there's no striker arriving in this transfer window, you can almost certainly forget the top four slot. It's tight at the bottom in the relegation fight with all our candidates, myself and Jay's, outlined a couple of weeks ago. Watford, Newcastle, Norwich, Burnley, and they might be joined, if they run out of gas, by Everton. At the other end, the heat is almost definitely on Manchester United, West Ham, Spurs and Arsenal, all trying to secure that vital fourth position. Too much emphasis on that, I'm afraid. I just want to see consistency and performance. The rest will take care of itself. In Arsenal news, livid Arsenal fans claim Southampton got off lightly after a horror lunge by Stuart Armstrong. They moaned that if it had been Granit Xhaka, he would have definitely seen a red for that challenge. The Saints midfielder escaped with just a yellow card despite a VAR review of his studs-up shocker. This is the whole crux, isn't it? VAR and referees not reading from the same page, and it's just still such a mess. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is still nowhere to be seen. We await news of whether Spanish Michael is going to push him out the door aggressively or give him a nice squidgy cuddle. Emmanuel Adebayor opened up on his hate towards Arsenal before describing Arsene Wenger as a fake manager. You may remember that Adebayor had a spell at City, then went to Spuds and ended up playing for three clubs that sounded like a Turkish hemorrhoid treatment. Arsenal have been given encouragement in their pursuit of Club Bruges winger Noah Lang, according to reports, with Lang confirming his intention to leave Bruges, according to De Standard, which is like The Standard.
It's an Arsenal Thing podcast. Fun, football and conversation.
Episode 42 is entitled That's the Burnley Way, a reference to the visitors' ability to defend in numbers, rough up the hosts and employ all manner of dirty deeds, tactical nullification and natural shithousery. Five games, three draws, two losses, one goal and two cup exits sum up a miserable period for the Gunners. But it's the law of averages that something is about to change. On the menu tonight, Isaiah takes us through 90-plus frustrating minutes against foot-of-the-table Burnley and emerges with all the key points and takeaways on American Arsenology. We answer your emails at itsanarsenalthing4@gmail.com And what's Burnley got going for it other than its football team? Dave plays detective with limited results. All this is served up with a smile and a sense of the ridiculous that if you're one of the regular listeners, you'll be used to by now. There's no gum room on this episode due to circumstances, but Jay will be back for the next one and hopefully we'll have some incoming players to talk about. Just a reminder to look up our blogs at arsedevils.com and americanarsenology.medium.com, and please don't forget to subscribe to both the audio version and the occasional YouTube offerings. Now, Dave was tasked with researching Burnley, which took him roughly about 20 minutes, in between dunking biscuits and sipping a brew. Mills, mining, royal forests, rivers, cotton, steam engines. That's what I got back on the back of a Southeast Explorer. It was all gritty as well, because he'd been eating a donut, one of a bag of six, I might add. I took matters, therefore, into my own hands, my own non-sticky hands, and uncovered famous Burnley folk. Sir Ian McKellen, none shall pass. Musicians born in the town include Dan But No Bacon, Alice Nutter, Lou Watts and Boff Wally, all of Chumbawamba. Remember them? They were involved in a hit and run recently. They got knocked down, but they got back up again. Hey! Take note, Dave. Research and a joke. Eric Haydock, bassist in the Hollies, I've heard of them. Classical composer John Pickford, no idea. The DJ, Anne Savage. That's kind of Burnley fame, isn't it? It's not like real fame. You could probably get a free sticky toffee pudding in Wetherspoons. It's hardly red carpet, is it? Lee Dixon, God bless you, sir, and your stylish silk cravat. And finally, record producer Addie Hall of Sugar House. It's no good looking at me. I don't know. And young soprano Holly Still. Always a hoot when drunk on the karaoke. We're into culture on this podcast, of course we are. How about, if there's such a thing, an inspiring poem about Burnley?
Anyway, here's the number in rhyme, ladies and gentlemen. Now you've got the measure of the place. The introduction is better than the number in this case. This one's written in the predictable rhyme style perfected by the likes of Johnny Clark. Exactly like this. I'll tell you now and I'll tell you firmly. I don't ever want to go to Burnley. What they do there don't concern me. Why would anybody make the journey? I'll tell you now and I'll tell you flatly. I don't never want to go to Gatley. I don't even want to go to Batley. Where is that place exactly? Do I want to go to Reddish? I wouldn't visit in a souped-up sheddish. What am I, some kind of nebbish? No, I don't want to go to Reddish. I'll tell you now and I'll tell you briefly. I don't never want to go to Keighley. I'll tell you now just like I told Elsa Lanchester. I don't never want to go to Smethwick. Couldn't think of another town to rhyme with that name.
From the land that gave you popcorn, drive-ins, Johnny Mathis, and the legitimate right to shoot your neighbor for parking outside your house, direct from the U.S. of A., it's a potpourri of foosball analysis and stuff. It's American Arsenology.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to American Arsenology. Brought to you by Paramount Pictures Presents Short Shorts and the Douche. Starring John Stockton and Aaron Rodgers, summer 2022. I'm your host, Louis Alcintor, and now tonight's top stories. Welcome back, me Gunners and me Gunnerettes. Arsenal have been held 0-0 at the Emirates by Sean Dyche's Burnley. It was a frustrating affair, filled with big, big puffy puffer coats and scowling Spaniards. Let's get right into it. The opening storyboard of this one featured the demon barber of Turf Moor facing off against Spanish Michael. Yes, it was another battle between Burnley and the Gunners, with Arsenal being victorious 1-0 in the first match of the season. It was an interesting lineup from Mikel Arteta again. Featuring young, ever so young guns. And all sorts of intriguing storylines. So let's dive a little deeper. Rugdown on the starting 11 featured Ramsdale in goal. And a centre-back pairing of Robert, Robbie Holdini-Holding and Gabriel Magalhaes. On the right, it was Benjamin, don't call me Ben Blanco. And on the left, Kieran Tierney. Playing as the lone pivot, and again, what was a 4-3-3, it was Albert Sambi, Lokonga. And playing the 8 is great Martin Odegaard, with Emil Smith-Rowe as the 10. Pride and joy on the flanks once again. With Gabriel Martinelli on the left and Bukayo Saka on the right. And up top, it was the bumbling Professor Clouseau. The action in this one began in the 8th minute as there was 2 big chances for Burnley. In the space of the same 60 seconds. The first, a cross shot from Dwight McNeil that Ramsdale would do well to parry and punch over the bar as he saw it late. Ramsdale's positioning and judgment was a bit strange on this one, but he did well to recover. But folks, the danger was not done, as the preceding corner was swung in dangerously so to the penalty spot. Martin Odegaard lost all track of Ben Mee as he was picked by some of his own players. And a golden half volley chance arrived for Ben Mee. Mee should have done better. And it was a warning for Arsenal that their apathetic start would not cut it.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
What's going on?
It's either the 4th of July, or someone's trying to kill us!
But in the 16th minute of play, one of Alexander Lacazette's finest moments of the match. As he combined well and panthered his way past 2 Burnley defenders into the area, it was brilliant twinkle toes from Professor Clouseau. And as he arrived at the 16-yard line, we expected our captain to unleash a game-winning golazo. But instead, it was... as the Frenchman's lack of confidence that was clearly on E, he sent in a pathetic shot that was a full 8 yards off frame. A very bad ending to what was, it must be said, a bright moment from Lacazette.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
And from minute 25 to minute 31, well, we would become more familiar with Burnley's Ashley Westwood. As in the 25th, he would stomp. On Kieran Tierney with his studs. It was an awful, disgusting challenge. He was given a yellow, and perhaps luckily so, as it could have been red. There is no fucking hyperbole about it. Westwood was lucky, and if this was a day when luck was on his side, he better have played the fucking lotto. As in the 31st minute, he would clearly raise his elbow to Gabriel Magalhaes' face in a 50-50 challenge. Surely Westwood would be off. Surely Arsenal would play with a man advantage for 60 minutes. No. This is Arsenal. And David Coote was reffing on the day. And he decided that, you know what, Westwood? It's all right, friend. It's all right. Next time, keep your hands to yourself. and carry on.
You got a light, buddy?
Yeah, sure, kid. There you go.
And your wallet.
Nick, give him your wallet.
What for?
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
There was one final moment to speak of in the dying embers of extra time. As Arsenal would fashion a counter-attack, as they blazed forward with quicksilver ability, the ball found its way to little Chile Bukayo Saka. Saka would receive in one of his key areas just inside the corner of the box. And as he performed one patented shimmy and shake, cutting the ball onto his magical left peg, our young Englishman took a strike on Nick Pope's goal. However, it was well wide. And on the day, Saka seemed a bit tired, man. This kid has been hacked, harassed, and hammered. You've heard me talk about it. He looked tired. Who could blame him? He is shouldering so much for Arsenal this season. And I think one of the people who will be most happy to see Nico Pepe return to Arsenal is Bukayo Saka. The first half came to its conclusion, and as always, there were two big fat whopper takeaways from the first half. Number one, William Saliba has now played the most minutes this season of any under 21 player in Europe. He's also contributed to 19 clean sheets. The experience he is gaining on loan is invaluable. However, against Burnley, and there have been other times this season, Arsenal were forced to incorporate Rob Holding back into another Premiership starting 11. And given how well William Saliba has done on loan at Marseille, more and more, feels like the wrong decision by Mikel Arteta. Surely would have been nice to have Big Bill on Sunday throwing his 6'4" frame at one of our 34 crosses and set pieces on the day. All managers make bad decisions in the course of a season, even the good ones. But keeping Saliba at home would have been incredibly valuable in our push for European football. Number two. Simulation. Football players, pundits, and supporters around the world are quick to slam a player for diving or making a meal out of a soft foul. And rightly so, fuck it, man, what are you doing? Get up. But then where does that leave our Brazilian Gabriel Magalhães? The Brazilian was clearly struck in the face with intent by Burnley's Ashley Westwood, who was on a yellow card at the time. And while it was not a vicious strike, there was clear intent. And the Burnley scum raised his elbow to Gabriel's face. But rather than clutch his face and roll around on the floor, writhing in agony, Gabriel got up and got on with it, man. But he simply pleaded, "Mr. David Kuta, David Kut! What do I need to do? How will you protect me? How will you uphold the letter of the law?" Mr. Coots, answer on the day? I won't do a goddamn thing. Not a thing. Not a talking to. Not a stern warning. Zilch. So then, what is the reward for honesty in our game? I ask you. Because to me it seems, sadly, there is none. Action picked up in the second half in the 61st minute, as Arsenal were awarded a free kick just outside the area, in a similar position where Martin Ødegaard had struck the winner for at Turf Moor. And on the day it would be Ødegaard who would step up again in the 61st. And his effort was decent, as it was a whipping, whipping left-footed wooded Norwegian. But it would not dip enough as it rippled the top netting of the net. Pope was worried, and Martin Ødegaard, oh man, he felt like he was so close. It was a better start to the second half for Arsenal. There was more intent and more purpose. And just a few minutes later in the 64th, a solid corner and set piece routine from the training ground saw Ødegaard find the Smith free and alone, just around the penalty area. The Smith's solid connection on a first time effort was saved, and brilliantly so, it must be said, by Nick Pope, as the ball travelled through a sea of bodies. It was a fine save from Pope, and a nice set piece routine. The match continued, and Laka and Saka were trying to combine. They were doing their best, and another half chance was fashioned for the Smith row. But Arsenal could not find a way. Time was ticking, and they were looking for answers. And folks, in the 67th minute, the biggest moment of the match for Arsenal. The peach pass. Kieran Tierney would find a streaking Emil Smith Rowe. The Smith did ever so well to skin his defender alive, as he drove the touchline with every ounce of energy he had in his body. It was a brilliant, well-intentioned run from the Smith, and his cutback to Lacazette on the edge of the six-yard area was sublime. For those of you who follow Arsenal, you know what the resulting outcome was. With Nick Pope drawn to the near post and almost forced to go out and challenge Smith Rowe himself, it left a gaping wide chasm, an open goal in fact. And as the onrushing, trailing run of the Pink Panther, Professor Clouseau, Mr. Lacazette arrived and made contact with the outside of his foot on the 6-yard box. His tres dedos effort drifted harmlessly wide of an open fucking goal. It was a truly disappointing moment, and I fear one that we shall remember Lacazette for. As it looks as though the manager's eyes have been opened when it comes to Lacazette. There was one more chance for Arsenal in the 86th minute. The nice ball was floated into Gabriel Magalhães. The Brazilian did all he could to generate power and direction to beat Nick Pope. But it was a hard effort, and one that was not easy to convert. Arsenal would probe a bit longer, but the self-belief and confidence was waning and ever so fast. And in the first minute of stoppage time, the 91st, Arsenal were nearly countered on by McNeil, as his left-footed effort nearly caught Aaron Ramsdale out of position. It was an uncharacteristically odd performance from Ramsdale, as he looked a bit discombobulated and out of sync with his back four. And as the opening whistle would sound, Mikel Arteta could only flip and flap and flip and flap at his lip. We passed up on the stairs. Second half came to its conclusion, and as always, there were three big, big takeaways. Number one. Against Burnley, Aaron Ramsdale picked up his 10th Premier League clean sheet. And as we have discussed on this podcast, he is firmly in the race for the Premiership's Golden Glove Award. Here at American Arsenology, we love everything Aaron Ramsdale is about. The technical class, the shot stopping, the joy and fun. Yes, fun he has playing football at the very highest level. Ramsdale was and is a fantastic signing. And by all accounts, Mikel Arteta overruled Edu Gaspar to secure his signature. However, for the first time in his Arsenal career, Ramsdale is having a bit of a rough go of things. He looks less assured, less confident, and he has made errors in each of the last two matches against Liverpool and Burnley, respectively. If Ramsdale is to challenge for top individual honours and be a key figure in Arsenal's push to qualify for Europe, he needs to rediscover his best form in the dunes of Dubai. Number two. With Alexander Lacazette leading the line this month, Arsenal have scored one goal in the month of January. And given Mikel Arteta's post-match remarks, it finally feels like the Arsenal manager is waking up to the truth that we have espoused time and time and time again on this podcast. Lacazette is not good enough. Spanish Michael said this after Burnley, and I quote, "We lack the qualities that you need to put the games to bed and to have that knife when you're there to do it. Like we missed against Liverpool as well when we had them." Mikel is not wrong here. Lacazette has never had the self-belief that is required to be an elite finisher. Elite and elite. He's never had it. We have been getting by with our number nine acting as a facilitator rather than an instigator. And Haaland has stepped up to rescue us time and time again. But the young boys can only do so much. It is time to pay the piper. And finally, the bipolar nature of Arsenal's fan base is astonishing. While it is true that we all can lose faith at some point in a campaign, some of the responses from our supporters, quote unquote, since the zero draw with Burnley has been pure madness. While I have personally criticized Mikel Arteta's naivetas in his approach to this half-COVID window, along with our implosion in the domestic cups, people must keep calm and carry the fuck on. Arsenal are 2 points. 2 points off fourth with the game in hand. If the start of the season we told you come February 10th, with 17 games to play, we'd be this close to Champions League football, you would be high as a kite. We have a legitimate shot at heading back to the big dance, and we're doing it with the youngest team in the league. So grab your lithium, put on one of your retro Adidas jackets, a pair of blue blockers, and grab a pint of your finest local brew. Get some perspective, because, Tom, as you well know, we need all the supporters behind this team to get the gun back to the show.
Incidentally, for all you doom and gloom mongers who were touting Antonio Conte as the manager that could make an instant impact, Conte has just come out and said that Spuds will need a few transfer windows until they can compete with the likes of Chelsea. Anyways, how are you doing? Oh, you look nice. Not you, our lady listeners. Yes, we have a few discerning females who choose to ignore the ill-informed opinions of their partners and prefer to listen to us. Life's full of surprises.
Just got an email. We just got an email. We just got an email. I wonder who it's from.
No need to wonder, we'll reveal all. Andrea says in an email, Tom and Dave, who do you dislike more, Man United or Chelsea? Cool, that's a tough one. That's like choosing between castration and beheading. Dave. I thought so. Both for Dave. Chelsea for me, the lads for hire, simply because they're up there at the moment and United are all over the shop. Jill T says, if you were forced to have one of the following back, who would it be? Pascal Sican or Skodran Mustafi? Naughty Jill, teasing Jill. We're back to the beheading and castration, aren't we? Dave. He's quickly scribbled Sigan on the whiteboard. Oh, yes, we communicate via the slippery surface. I'd go along with that as well, Dave. At least he didn't fall over every 2 minutes or do something and then look at the person next to him. Mustafi was a shameless blame shifter, wasn't he? Shame on you, sir, and may your sandals be forever full of sand. I always do this. I turn to Dave during recording and I go to ask him something. He's got a face full of food. Shall we have a musical interlude, Dave? Nod, nod, nod. Mind your fingers, by the way. Here it is. Listen to this.
So, I've intercepted the latest MP3 from Sean Dyche. I just have to get my musical keyboard up. Right. So, I suppose I have to say, here goes.
You do. Beautiful. Mm-mm. There's only one method that you should play. It's kick and rush, the Burnley way. Pull your shorts up nice and tight. Eat liver and onions every night. Spit on every inch of the turf that Joey Barton's a fucking smurf. And remember... ambush. Assault. Pie. Kick. Hurt. Tinned meat. Harm. Shit. And wallop. And that's the Burnley way. Attack without intent. Defend and don't relent. Don't try any overhead kicks. They're far too fancy and only for pricks. Effort without ambition. Survival is our mission. Dribbling is for babies. Couscous is for ladies. Work on your thighs so your shorts barely fit. Park it in the park in the disabled if you're desperate for a shit. And remember... horses. Hammers. Concrete. Spanners. Hit. Shit. And wallop. And that's the Burnley way. There you go. Thank you, Sean.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, Sean Dyche.
Meatloaf died recently, which prompted Dave to ask one of his slightly odd questions. I would do anything for love, but I won't. And there's three options. A, watch an entire evening of Friends completely sober. That's a tough gig. You have to be drunk to watch 10 episodes of Friends. Trust me, I've been there. B, I won't juggle a collection of cactuses whilst on horseback on a sandpaper saddle. Are you feeling all right? Or C, I won't go shoe shopping with a missus, partner or girlfriend. Come on, we've all been there, haven't we? 15 shoe shops in a very long high street and you wind up after about 3.5 hours going back to the first one. Enough said. Out of those choices, I'm not going to watch Emmerdale. I'm not going to go shoe shopping with the missus. So for me, I'm going to juggle a collection of cactuses whilst on horseback on a sandpaper saddle. Get out of here! Just as we were about to publish podcast 42, Sky Sports announced that Dusan Vlahovic was destined to join Juventus. If you're disappointed by that, don't be. At no point was there genuine interest on behalf of the player. Rumours of calls being ignored and all attempts to make contact being firmly resisted. We don't need a player who hasn't got his heart in this project, who is going to down tools and throw his expensive toys out of the pram because of a sense of self-entitlement. We don't need more negativity in the changing room or another player with a star mentality. I'd be more concerned that Arsenal have committed the entire window to chasing shadows, and it's even worse if they don't have a plan B. Isak should have been an option, or Tony from Brentford, and unlike Charles Watts, I tend to think we have to go for another target. Watts said about wasting money on players for the sake of it, but there is a genuine need for a recognised goal threat, and I've a feeling that Arsenal may even go for Calvert-Lewin. Failure to secure a striker could have devastating consequences in the final stages of the season. I do agree with Watts that key players are coming back, and there's also the Aubameyang situation to consider. Time's running out and Isak isn't going to be cheap, but at least Arsenal could have a decent run at an alternative target. Against Liverpool in the second leg, we didn't look like scoring unless it was a penalty or a free kick. And against Burnley, we lacked cutting edge. You also have to recognise that Arsenal are no longer viewed as a top club by certain players. Juventus are fifth in the table, Arsenal are sixth. We could afford the transfer and we could afford the wages, but he chose to go to Italy. There's still time, but Arsenal now have to focus and act quickly, unlike in previous seasons.
It's an Arsenal Thing podcast. Fun, football and conversation.
Right, we're all done here. My thanks to Dave, Isaiah and Jay. Check out Isaiah's blogs at americanarsonology.medium.com or look him up on Twitter. You can find Dave on Twitter as SilentDave101 and Jay as The Bald Gooner. Shout outs to SOMD, Brandon Murphy. Check out the YouTube version of the show and please like, follow or subscribe. Look up our blogs at AskDevils.com or look us up on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for taking the time to join us. We'll see you next time. Stay safe and well and remember, North London is red.
We crossed swords in San Francisco. We both lived to tell the tale. I don't know now where she is. Oh, but if I had her here, I'd give her my love and a bang on the ear.
So I'll give